You got me where you want me, and I hope you're satisfied.
You got me where you want me, and you hardly even tried.
One single look was all I took, and then starry-eyed, I watched my poor old heart go on that roller coaster ride.
I say I won't surrender, but I know darn well I will. My hopes are pretty slender, and my chances almost nil.
Why should I try to alibi? Anyone can see. Got me where you want me,
and it's where I wanna be.
You got me where you want me, and I hope you're satisfied.
You got me where you want me, and you never even tried.
A single look was all it took, and then
starry-eyed, I watched my poor old heart go on that roller coaster ride.
I say I won't surrender,
but I know darn well you will.
My hopes are pretty slender,
and my chance is almost nil.
Why should I try to alibi when anyone can see?
You got me where you want me.
You got me where you want me,
and it's where I wanna be. And it's where I wanna be. And it's where I wanna be.
From the city by the Golden Gate, this is KSSR-DB San Francisco, Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. It's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for yet another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll take a trip with the mysterious traveler. But first, it's the adventures of Detective Nero Wolfe. The Adventures of Nero Wolfe came to the Blue Network in July of 1943 as a Monday, later a Friday night mystery program for Elgin Watches. Wolfe, first seen in the mystery novels of Rex Stout, was a gargantuan gourmet and orchid fancier first class. The fat genius, with an eye for detail, solving many a perfect murder. The 1943 series soon disappeared, but Wolfe was resurrected in late 1945, starring Francis Bushman with Elliot Lewis as Archie. In 1950, yet another Wolfe was brought to the air, sustained on NBC Friday nights, and featuring Sidney Greenstreet as Wolfe. The program was produced by Edwin Fademan, directed by J. Donald Wilson, and announced by Don Stanley. It was last heard on NBC in April of 1951. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear and the adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet in The Case of the Bashful Body from December of 1950. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, Vodio, Dodio, Do. Radio, I miss you so.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking.
Who?
Oh, I see. Oh, you think Mr. Wolfe might be interested in going over and... Hold on a minute.
Archie, I'm not interested in going anywhere. Ill-considered movement is the curse of our times. Not to mention the mania for fresh air. Phew. Bottle opener, if you please.
Here you are. But that was Zabro's flower shop, Mr. Wolfe.
Indeed.
Got a new shipment of orchids from upstate.
In that case...
Mr. Wolfe, remember the curse of our times, not to mention the mania?
I'll be there.
He'll be there.
After all, a man must risk his life sometimes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chairborne genius, Nero Wolfe. Created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet. Orchids don't grow up overnight. They have to be carefully planted, tended, watered, and watched. And the same thing goes for murder. Take Zabro's flower shop minutes after we got that phone call.
Zabro! Mr. Hansen, I did not notice you are here.
I'm here, and what's more...
You like the way I display your orchids,
I don't like the way you've been avoiding meeting your obligations.
Please, please, it is better not to shout.
It'd be still better if you paid me what you owe me.
Mr. Hansen, business has not been so good. I will pay.
You'd better.
I intend to...
My lawyers aren't going to be satisfied by intentions.
Your lawyers?
I've no particular desire to own a flower shop, but it looks as if I'm going to. Unless you raise some money.
Mr. Hansen, I have worked years. I have given of my blood to make a success of this establishment. You cannot take him from me. You are a rich man.
I intend to stay rich, too. You've got 24 hours, Avro. A man can accomplish a lot in 24 hours.
Yes, Mr. Hansen. Even maybe murder.
Mr. Zabro?
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Hansen.
Is Uncle here?
Yes, he is here. At the display, towards the back of the store.
Oh, thanks. How is he?
He is the way he always is. Hard, vindictive.
Mr. Zabro.
I am sorry. Excuse me now.
Uncle?
What is it, Enid?
Have you seen my display?
The lilies?
Uh-huh.
Yes, pretty.
Well, thank you.
He's not here.
Well, I didn't say...
You didn't have to. John Arndt is not here. Why he is not here, I don't know. His job was to look after my display. Perhaps he doesn't need a job anymore.
You know he does.
Fiddlesticks. After all, if he marries my heiress...
Uncle!
My dear girl, John Arndt is a fairly capable man with orchids. Outside of that, I have no use for him whatsoever, especially in the role of your husband.
Well, isn't that for me to decide?
Of course it is, except that, pretty as you are, John Arndt is seeing you through a golden haze. To be precise... The money that will come to you from me when I die.
That's nasty.
It's the truth.
Well, you can't know that.
I'm going to find out.
What?
I saw my lawyers this morning. Among other things, I instructed them to draw up a codicil to my will. A codicil to the effect that all my money goes to you on one condition.
Oh, you couldn't.
I did. The condition was that you refrain from marrying John Arndt, either now or at any time in the future.
Well, that's not fair.
It's a very good way of discouraging Mr. Arndt. What'll you bet his ardor cools off quickly,
You told him?
Yes. Probably why he hasn't appeared as yet. He's sulky.
You really sign that codicil?
I will, as soon as the papers are drawn up. Where are you going?
I don't know. I've got to get away someplace and think.
Very well. Think about forgetting John Arndt. Best thing in the world for you.
Uncle, do you really think you can manage other people's lives for them?
I don't see why not.
No? Well, people don't like to be managed. They get desperate sometimes. And sometimes, they kill.
Mr. Wolf, what are you doing?
Getting up.
Well, that makes you eligible for the Explorers Club or something.
My coat and muffler, Archie.
I got them here.
Thank you.
You're really going out into that weather outside?
Archie, must you try to be witty?
It amuses me no end. Haven't you seen enough of those weeds yet?
An orchid is not a weed. Another muffler, Archie, the woolen one.
You've already got two on.
Please, fresh air clogs the lungs, Archie.
Sure, everybody knows that, but they won't admit it.
Of course not. A conspiracy of silence. Archie, I'm ready.
You sure? I can see a square inch of skin showing.
Calm. You're driving me to Zabra's.
Mm-hmm. All right, careful. And take a deep breath. I'm going to open the door. You ready?
Very well. Open it.
Be brave, Mr. Wolf. We'll keep the car window shut, and maybe you'll make it. Careful.
The risks one takes.
In you go. Well, okay, boss. Now, where is Abros?
45th Street.
Gee, 10 blocks. Grit your teeth, Mr. Wolf. We're off.
Oh, Mr. Wolf, I'm glad you are here.
Those orchids you wrote me about had better be worth a trip.
The trip? But I think you live only a little way from here.
Don't forget it had to be made in the open air, Mr. Zabro.
Where are the orchids?
Towards the back. They are from Hansen's place. He is a fine grower. I have made an exhibit.
Good.
Oh, excuse me. Others are here. You go look for yourself, no?
Very well. Archie.
Oh, I was just noticing the...
Did a girl just enter the store?
A girl, a goddess. Tall, graceful. Venus de Milo with arms. Arms that were made... Never mind, let's go look at orchids.
Thank you. Very fine.
The exhibit is laid out like nature, huh? Reminds me of a spot in Central Park that I spent some of my happiest moments in.
Then you do like flowers.
I don't go to Central Park to look at flowers. I went there to forget it.
Gladly. Now go away and annoy someone else.
Venus?
I want to concentrate on these orchids. Goodbye.
Okay. I'll leave you alone with your loved ones. Let's see, maybe I can arrange to be left alone with something I could very easily learn to love. Hey, boss.
Don't bother me, Archie.
Oh, this is serious. There's a lily display just like this one over at the other end of the store.
Nothing connected with lilies could possibly be serious.
Maybe not, but there's a corpse planted among these lilies.
Indeed?
A lot of ferns were banked up in back of the display. I saw a foot sticking out, so I slipped back, lifted a few ferns, and found a body.
Fresh?
Very. The wound was still bleeding. Knife wound.
Sad, very. Now run along.
Well, aren't you going to do anything about it?
Why should I? Anyone who'd permit himself to be found dead or alive among a display of lilies is beneath contempt.
Well, maybe the poor guy didn't have a chance to crawl into an orchid display before he died. However, if that's the way you feel, I'll tell the police all about poor Mr. Hansen and let
them... Who?
Hansen, the orchid grower.
He's one of the finest in the country.
Not is. Was. Wasn't me who pushed him under the lilies.
And the lilies, bah, he would have hated it. Have you told Zabro?
No, Zabro's been busy up front.
Where is this display?
Right along here.
There's been a number of people in the store since we came. Someone else may have noticed that dead man's foot.
Uh-uh, I covered it.
Satisfactory. At times you give the illusions of intelligence. Is this the display?
Yep. Come around to the back. There's a little space between the back of the display and the wall. Now here, right under this pile of ferns.
Yes, Sergeant?
Hey, that body.
What about it?
It got bashful. It's gone.
Indeed.
The corpse was dead.
Corpse is off now. Confound you, Archie. Have you been drinking too much milk again?
Now, look, boss, I saw him there. The blood's still coming out of his back, and I tell you that...
Let me understand you. Are you suggesting the corpse rose and walked away?
No, but somebody could have dragged it away. Somebody who put it here in the first place.
Pictures, no doubt. Come along, Archie. If this is some half-witted trick to distract me from the orchid...
Oh, no. I never come between a man and his love. Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Wolf.
Yes?
Do ferns bleed?
Let me see. Indeed. Yes, there is blood. Fresh arterial blood on these ferns. Bright red color. Which means there was a wounded person among these lilies recently.
Thanks for the late vote of confidence.
Whoever killed Hansen apparently found a better place for him.
Mm-hmm. Took him home to put him over the mantelpiece.
Unlikely. Hansen wasn't very decorative.
Okay. Now shall I yell for the police?
You have nothing to show them except a fern leaf covered with blood. No.
Don't tell me you smell a fee among all these flowers.
Hansen was a man I admired. Good heavens, Archie. The number of first-rate orchid growers is small enough without one of us being murdered.
Mm-hmm. Unsportsmanlike, huh? Okay, we won't stand for it. What next?
The body was removed from the building. How?
Well, I wouldn't swear to it, but there's a window here that leads out to an alleyway.
Could the alleyway be seen from the street?
I don't think so. There's a bend in it.
Wide enough for a car?
Yep.
Bring Zabro to me. Oh, don't bother. He's coming himself.
Well, Mr. Wolf, what do you think of the... Mr. Wolf, I do not believe this.
What don't you believe?
You are looking at lilies.
Not exactly. Whose flowers are these?
Mr. Hansen's niece grows lilies.
I see. Zabro, did you get all your orchids from Hansen?
Oh, yes. He is an artist.
Practically an old master at the moment. How much money do you owe him?
Who tell you I owe him?
You do, don't you?
Well, yes. Business has not been so good. But did he speak to you?
No, I guess you owed him money.
I do not understand.
Was Hansen in the store today?
Yes, he came. You hear us quarrel, eh?
Where is he now?
I do not know. He leave, maybe.
I rather think he did. Zabro, who else was in the store within the last half hour who might have known Hansen?
Oh, Miss Hansen was here and John Arndt. He is Mr. Hansen's assistant, and how you say, sweet on Miss Hansen.
Was she the tall girl who came in shortly after we did, Mr. Zabro?
Tall? Yes, I think so.
Are either of them still here?
No. They go.
Together?
Miss Hansen go first.
Very well. Come along, Archie.
Okay, Mr. Wolf.
You will not tell Mr. Hansen you know of my debts.
No, Mr. Zabro, I won't tell him. As a matter of fact, even if I wanted to, I don't think he would listen.
I love these long drives in the country. Where are we going?
Hansen's place.
Oh, you think he returned to it to haunt it, huh?
He was returned there, I suspect.
Uh-huh. In order to cast suspicion on himself.
Miss Hansen lives with him. Mr. Arndt works for him on the premises, therefore...
Miss Hansen will be there?
I imagine so. Why?
Oh, nothing. Nothing at all. Boss, can we stop at the next town?
Why?
I want to buy a book. On lilies.
This sudden... you mean Miss Hansen grows them in there?
Uh-huh. See, that way we'll have something in common.
Perhaps, but Archie, isn't interest in flowers what you want to have in common with her?
So this is the house that Orchid's built, huh? Snazzy.
Very handsome country home.
For streamlined zombies,
Hello.
I take that back.
Miss Hansen?
Yes.
I'm Nero Wolfe. The person ogling you is my assistant, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh. Well, Uncle's spoken of you, Mr. Wolfe. Oh, come in, please.
Thank you.
I was not ogling. I was merely tracing a resemblance.
Oh, between Uncle and me?
Between you and my heart's desire.
Archie, stop being poetic. It doesn't become you.
In here, please. My uncle isn't at home yet, but... Oh, John, this is Mr. Wolfe, Mr. Goodwin. John is Uncle's assistant.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Hansen hasn't returned from town yet, Mr. Wolfe.
Are you quite sure?
Why, yes. Unless Enid saw him.
Oh, no, I didn't, John.
Indeed. In that case, if you don't mind, we'll wait for him.
Well, of course. We'd be delighted.
Sure. Excuse me, won't you? I've got some work to do.
On orchids or lilies?
The orchids.
Well, then go right ahead.
See you later.
Oh, can I get you something to drink?
Beer will do, thank you.
I'd better help you bring the bottle in, Miss...
Archie.
On the other hand, maybe you can manage alone.
Well, of course I can. I'm a big girl, Mr. Goodwin.
I noticed. I mean, why not call me Archie? Takes less time.
Hmm, I'd like to, Archie.
Swell. Remember what old Dr. Titmouse said?
I want a bottle of beer.
Said, I want a bottle... Oh. No. Never mind, Enid. You'd better go gather some beer for Mr. Wolf.
All right. I'll be back in a minute.
Mmm. So much of her and all so nice.
Archie, are you forgetting why we're here?
I don't care why you're here.
We're waiting for Uncle.
Uh-huh. Mr. Wolf, it's unlikely that Uncle is going to walk in through that front door.
True. That is why you're sneaking out the back door to find him.
How do you know he'll be around here?
This is where he lives, isn't it, Archie?
Yes, but if you'll remember, Uncle gave up living earlier this afternoon.
You mean he was persuaded to? Nevertheless, I rather think he'll be around, body and all.
He wasn't in the house, so I tried the conservatory, hothouse, what have you. It was hot in that steam-heated orchid paradise. Also, it was full of orchids. Unfortunately, it wasn't full of Miss Hansen. I wandered hither and yon for a moment, dreaming of her, until I noticed a foot. Same foot I'd seen back at Zabro's, and peculiarly enough, the same corpse was attached to it. Uncle's. I was bending over to take a closer look when I felt a thud. Realized that thud was the sound of something hitting my head, and I began to realize, too, that I'd been knocked almost unconscious, which the second blow did.
I can't understand where my uncle is, Mr. Wolf.
His staying away so late is unusual, then.
Of course it is.
Which reminds me, Archie's been gone for several hours.
Yeah, where did he go, Mr. Wolf?
Look about. Were you in the hothouse, Mr. Hunt?
No, I was packing some plants.
You, Miss Hansen?
Well, after I brought your beer, I went upstairs and rested for a while. Why?
Because if either of you harmed Archie, I shall personally murder you.
Oh, Mr. Wolf.
Come on, we've got to find the boy.
Why should either of us want to harm him?
Because he probably found your uncle's body.
His body? Huh? What are you...
I don't understand.
Mr. Hansen has been murdered.
Oh, no.
Enid.
Oh, stop there, Miss Hansen. You're a perfectly healthy young woman. There's no reason for you to swoon.
Now, look here, you.
Besides, I rather suspect she lost no love for him. Am I right, Miss Hansen?
He was my uncle.
You're aware of the fact? He opposed your marriage to Miss Aunt here, huh?
That's none of your business.
Which means he did oppose it. Mr. Aunt, Mr. Hansen was a friend of mine. I intend to find the murderer after I find his body. Shows a lack of proper respect to transport a corpse about the countryside. Come, both of you, we must find Archie.
This whole thing's like a nightmare.
If you can't wake up from it, let's go on with the search.
Oh, look, there on the ground.
Archie.
I'll see if he's all right.
Why, this is fantastic. Mr. Hansen stabbed to death, and now Goodwin.
He's just been stunned, thank heavens. He's coming too.
Oh, I died. Oh, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm dead.
Archie, speak to me.
Oh, I went to heaven.
Are you all right, Archie?
Uh-oh, the other place.
Ah, get up.
Sure, somebody will hold my head. Oh, yes. Are we having an earthquake?
You poor boy, take my arm here.
I'll take both.
Oi, he's normal. What happened, Archie?
Somebody hit me when I wasn't looking.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. Oh, yes, I remember.
Yes?
I found Uncle, lying right there.
The poor boy's delirious.
Don't tell me he's gone again.
I'm afraid he has, Archie.
Are you sure you saw him?
I'm positive, and then somebody slugged me. That corpse is the shyest one I've ever met.
Blood would have dried. There'll be no signs of his having been placed here. Bad.
Why?
Your testimony would be valueless, especially since you were found unconscious. The jury would suspect you of having hit the bottle.
Why didn't we stay the night? I'm a sick man. Enid would have nursed me.
Ah, you're not sick. And I won't have you taking advantage of that girl.
In my condition, I couldn't have. But maybe she would have taken advantage of me.
Oui.
Is that what they call it in your day?
Desabro, stop the car.
Okay. Here we go.
No, I can manage. Don't. I'm not entirely helpless.
Place is closed. Dark.
I was afraid it might be.
Don't tell me Zabro's gone traveling, too.
Possibility, Archie.
You mean he killed Hansen to cancel the debt he owed him, then followed us out to the country house and dumped Hansen there, hoping to pin suspicion on Eden and John?
Perhaps.
Uh-huh. Slugged me when I found the body too soon, and then... Uh-huh. Guess we better get into the joint.
Door's locked.
A guy I know got out of jail the other day.
Yeah?
He's reformed, so he gave me all his skeleton keys.
You have them with you?
Mm-hmm. And we'll find out in a minute just how good a burglar he was. Mm, very good. Will you come in?
Shut the door.
Okay.
Now, what's that?
Somebody's been hurt. The lights. Nothing up front here.
Shh. Back of this door where the exhibits are.
I'll go see. Maybe you better stay here.
Nonsense.
Oh, where... Uh-oh, among the lilies again, but this time there are two bodies there.
Zabro, quick, Archie.
Mr. Zabro? Mr. Zab... He's been shot, boss. Bad.
He's trying to say something. In the lilies. Mr. Hansen.
Yes, we know about him. Who shot you?
From the window. Alleyway. Came in. Mr. Zabro, who? Inherit... money. Inherit...
Down, Miss Wolf, quick. Somebody shooting from that window.
Archie.
All in one piece. Are you all right?
Yes, that car.
It's gone. Brought the body here and...
Zabra.
He couldn't duck. He's dead.
Yes.
Police, boss, this time we've got more than a fern leaf smeared with blood to show them.
Not yet, Archie. I'd prefer handing the murderer over to them along with the victims. I'm going home. Archie, get Miss Hansen and Mr. Arndt there as soon as you can.
Well, suppose they don't want to come.
Knock them unconscious and drag them there.
Not Enid, boss. Enid's... Hey, what Zabro said about inheriting.
Don't anticipate, Archie. When you get them to my office, we'll identify the murderer then.
Mr. Wolf, don't you think this is all a little high-handed, dragging us here in the middle of the night?
Murder is even more high-handed, Mr. Arndt.
Please, John.
Miss Hansen, do you inherit...
Well, I guess so. I'm Uncle's only relative, so I suppose...
Wait a minute, Enid. Mr. Wolf, are you suggesting that she had anything to do with this invisible corpse?
The corpse is no longer invisible, Mr. Arndt.
You've seen Uncle?
Yes, dead, in Zabra's establishment. Lying with a knife in his back in his own orchid display.
Now you're trying to pin something on me. You know why I set up that orchid display.
Indeed. The police will be interested in that information.
But he wasn't found in the orchids. He was...
Yes, Mr. Arndt. He was found where...
I don't know.
You were about to say the lily display, weren't you?
I wasn't going to say anything.
You're a little late. You already informed us that you knew his body was not placed in the orchid display. How did you know?
I just guessed.
The jury will be very much impressed by your remarkable clairvoyance, especially since, Archie asked Mr. Zabro to come in.
Mr. Zabro? Okay.
Don't bother, Goodwin.
John, that gun!
Shut up, you little fool.
Enid's a big girl.
I don't know how you tumbled, Wolf. Lucky guessing, maybe.
Oh, come now. Neither of us has indulged in guesswork. You killed Hansen, placed his body in the lily display to attract suspicion towards Miss Hansen. You felt sure she wouldn't be convicted, so you were safe. She would inherit, you would marry her, a marriage which your uncle opposed. When you saw that Archie had discovered the body too early for you to establish an alibi for yourself...
Then he sneaked the body out of the window into his car and then dumped it in the hothouse.
For time.
Go on, Mr. Wolf.
He didn't intend it to be discovered there, which was why he knocked you unconscious, Archie.
Oh, I'm so glad he had a good reason for it.
He had a body on his hands. He decided to double back, put the body in its original place, and carry through his plan. But Zabro caught him at it, poor fellow.
I thought Zabro was in the other room.
Lost you fool. You think I, too, am addicted to carrying corpses about? Zabro is dead. And you've given yourself away unnecessarily. Archie?
All right.
Archie, quick.
Let go, Edith.
I've got his arm.
I'll give him mine with a fist attached.
Very satisfactory, Archie. Now call the police. Inform them you have two corpses and a murderer for them.
You should have heard Mr. Arndt's language, boss, when the police took him away. Oh, I don't think he loves you.
I don't think it matters anymore.
It used to me.
Growing pains. You'll get over it, Miss Hansen.
You trapped him, Mr. Wolf, but what made you so sure he did it?
At the hot house, when you were unconscious, Archie, Mr. Arndt deplored the fact that Mr. Hansen had been stabbed in the back. No one had mentioned how he was killed, therefore.
The reason Arndt knew was because he himself had killed Mr. Hansen. Murderers seldom get away with it, no matter how tightly they button their lips.
Hmm. Well, mine, however, are not buttoned up. Archie?
Oh, the beer is on your desk.
Thank you. Miss Hansen, stop brooding. Try some of this beer.
But, Mr. Wolf, my heart's broken.
As a man who's lived a good many years, Miss Hansen, permit me to assure you that the easiest way of mending a broken heart is by filling the stomach.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet.
From December of 1950, it's been The Case of the Bashful Body, Sidney Greenstreet starring in The Adventures of Nero Wolfe. In a moment, we'll take a trip with The Mysterious Traveler and I Won't Die Alone from May of 1948 as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
The Mysterious Traveler first rode the rails on Mutual in 1943 as a Sunday night sustaining program. The series continued on Mutual for 9 years, bowing out in 1952, never having had a sponsor. Maurice Tarplin brought just the right amount of morbid mischief to the Traveler's voice. Like the Whistler, he never appeared in the stories, he just narrated from on high. The stories ran from wild, end-of-the-world science fiction to straight crime. In some ways, The Mysterious Traveler was as close to escape in story content as it was to The Whistler. The Traveler's stories flowed from the typewriters of Robert Arthur and David Kogan, who also produced and directed. As with most unsponsored anthologies, The Mysterious Traveler avoided star players and instead drew its talent from the world of the unsung radio professional. Scores of musicians, announcers, and actors representing many of the medium's best pros worked on the show over its 9-year run. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear and The Mysterious Traveler, I Won't Die Alone, from May of 1948. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Mutual presents The Mysterious Traveler.
This is The Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, and it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back, get a good grip on your nerves, and be comfortable, if you can, as you hear the story I call I Won't Die Alone. Our story begins in 1931. Two young men are speeding along in a car on a lonely West Virginia road at 70 miles an hour. There's a tight, tense look on the face of the driver, Steve Martin, as he takes the curves on the road without slowing down. His companion, Chuck Williams, wipes the perspiration from his face with trembling hands. He turns and watches the road behind fearfully, now and then glancing at Steve's face for reassurance.
Turn on the radio, Chuck. Let's see if they got an alarm out yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, what do you think our chances are, Steve?
Hard to say. It all depends on how fast the cops spread the word.
The two men robbed the Third National Bank of Lewisburg of over $250,000 shortly before closing time. Word has just been received that the two bank robbers are now driving east on Highway 6B towards the Allegheny Mountains.
That's not good.
State Police Car 9, take up position at junction of Highway 11A and River Road.
They're moving fast.
State Police Car 10, take up position at junction of Highway 3 and Highway 6B.
Steve, Highway 6B, we're on it.
Yeah.
That is all. Stand by for further orders.
Steve, you got to turn back. We're headed for a trap.
Take it easy, will you? There's still a chance. 20 miles ahead, there's a small dirt road that'll detour us right around them.
20 miles? We'll never make it, Steve. Isn't there any other road we can turn off on?
No.
Are you sure?
I was born in these parts. I know every inch of the country.
Steve, let's ditch the car and cut toward the mountains on foot.
Are you crazy? It's 40 miles to the mountains. We'd never make it walking. We've got to keep driving. It's our only chance.
We'll run right into that trap, I tell you. They'll be waiting with Tommy guns. We'll be dead pigeons.
Okay, then we'll be dead pigeons.
I'd give up my share to haul right now to be out of this. You got to get me out of this, Steve. You got to.
Oh, shut up.
Look, Steve, if you were to let me out of the car and keep on going yourself, I might be able to get away. The cops would be so busy chasing you, I'd be able to give them the slip.
You lousy rat.
Now, look at it my way, Steve. There ain't no use both our getting caught. That don't make sense.
You're great when it comes to sharing the dough, but when the heat's on, you want out.
Yeah, but I'm willing to pay for you can keep my share of the bank on. Now, that's fair enough, ain't it? Huh?
A lot of good that dough'll do me if I get caught, but I'm sick of hearing you whine. All right, it's a deal. If I get through, the dough's all mine. If I don't, well, I don't.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks. I'll never forget this.
Come on, get out.
Where do I go, Steve?
Head across the fields until you hit a small stream. Then head upstream for about 6 miles. There's a railroad water tower there. You ought to be able to hop a freight.
Thanks, Steve. I'll be seeing you.
Yeah. So long, Chuck.
Hello? Where are you?
Wouldn't show up. See, but the paper that got Steve.
Yeah. Now let me see that paper. It says here they caught him yesterday afternoon at 5. An hour after I left him.
What'd you do, run out on him?
No, I didn't run out on him. I just played it smart. What are you looking at me like that for? There wasn't no sense in both our being caught, was there?
No, I guess not. Where's the dough?
What dough?
The $254,000 you got in the bank job.
Steve had the dough.
What? Look what it says there in the paper. Huh? Go ahead, read it.
Martin, when captured, told police he knew nothing about the stolen bank money. Police believe that Martin's unknown companion escaped with the loot. But I didn't fly. I didn't. Steve had that dough when I left him.
Then why didn't the police find it when they caught him?
There's only one answer. Steve stopped and hid the dough someplace before they got him.
Yeah, that must be it. Steve's too smart to risk being caught and having all that dough taken away from him. Poor guy. They'll probably throw the book at him.
Where have you been so long? Well, what happened at the trial?
They give him 25 years.
25 years?
Mm-hmm.
How did he take it?
He didn't bat an eye.
Maybe he'll think things over and squeal on
me. Oh, stop sniffling, will you? Steve isn't the kind of guy to do anything like that.
Yeah, sure. Why should he want to squeal on me? Besides, if he did, the cops would find out that I didn't have the bank, though. That it's Steve who got it. He wouldn't want that to happen. Sure. Why, with good behavior, he'll be out in 18 or 19 years. And he'll have all that dough hid.
I'd rather have the 18 or 19 years than the dough. Well, it's been nice knowing you, Chuck.
Wait a minute, Flo, don't go.
What?
Why not stick around? We'd make a good team. We don't need Steve.
We don't, huh? And just what would I get sticking around? You haven't got brain, muscle, or dough. What's the attraction?
Listen, Flo, stick with me and I'll get dough. I've always gotten what I wanted in the end.
Without Steve, you haven't got a chance. He had all the brains, all the guts.
Yeah, and where did it get him? You notice I ain't behind bars. And I'll get that big dough yet.
Three cheers. When you do, look me up.
Seventeen years in which earth-shaking events took place. With the passing of time, Steve Martin became just a memory to Chuck Williams and Flo Duval. During the 30s, Chuck struggled desperately to make money in a half dozen petty rackets, but failed miserably. However, with the coming of the war, His luck changed, and in the years that followed, he thrived on the black market. And with his newfound wealth, he was able to win Flo Duval. 1948 found Chuck Williams a happy, prosperous citizen without a care in the world.
How many times have I told you to knock before you come into this office?
Look, Napoleon, save that big shot stuff for your stooges.
Same old Flo. I guess that's what I like about you, baby.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, you've got that superior look on your face again. Who are you planning to knife now?
Just got word that our old pal, Steve, is getting out of prison tomorrow.
Steve Martin?
The one and only. It's been 17 years now. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Think I'll drive down to the prison. Be there when Steve gets out.
What for? You haven't bothered to write or visit him since the day he was sent up?
I know. But it's a matter of unfinished business between the two of us.
Unfinished business?
Yeah. To be exact, 254 grand.
You mean you're going after that dough that Steve has stashed away?
That's just what I mean.
But you gave up your share of that bank dough the day you and Steve separated.
Man can always change his mind.
Chuck, leave Steve alone. That money by rights is his. He paid 17 years for it. Besides, you don't need it. You got more dough than that already.
Maybe so, but that isn't going to stop me from getting that 254 grand. And you ought to know by this time I always get what I go after. I got you, didn't I, baby, huh? And remember, baby, when those gates open and Steve comes out, let me do the talking.
Don't worry, I will. I don't want any part of this dirty deal.
Relax, baby, relax. When I get that 254 G's, I'll buy you a fancy diamond bracelet. Then you'll feel better.
Hey, boss. They're opening the gate. Is that him?
No. Steve's twice as big as that guy.
Chuck, that is Steve.
Can't be. That guy looks at least six. You're right. It is Steve. Stay in the car. Hey, Steve. Steve, over here. What's the matter? Don't you remember an old pal?
Hello, Chuck. Well, I didn't recognize you at first.
Let it here, pal.
Yeah. I guess I'm kind of surprised to see you after all these years.
Well, I've been living in South America most of the time. Only got back a year ago. I know I should have written you, but I never was any good at that.
Boy, yeah, sure smells better out here.
Come on, let's get in my car. I got a surprise for you.
Surprise?
Yeah, you remember Flo Duval, don't you? Well, here she is.
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Flo. Hey, it's nice seeing you again.
Come on, Steve, get in. We're driving you to town.
Thanks, Chuck.
Okay, Felix, back to town.
Right, boss.
Don't look well, Steve.
It's just this prison parlor, Flo, and 17 years.
Well, it's all behind you now, Steve. A few weeks of good rest and good food, you'll be a new man.
I'd like to believe that.
Just take my word for it. I'm never wrong.
Well, you seem to have done all right, Chuck.
Yeah, not bad. I own a nightclub, a bowling alley, used car business, a couple of apartment houses. I can't complain.
I'm glad to hear it.
I'm not forgetting an old pal, either. Now, Flo and me want you to come and stay with us until you get on your feet. You know, a house guest.
I'd rather not, Chuck. I don't want to put you out.
Put me out? Huh. Listen to the guy. Well, we got sweet servants, everything. Steve, I just won't take no for an answer.
A week passed, then 2 weeks, during which Steve Martin did little other than eat and sleep and take long walks. Chuck Williams played the role of the gracious host to perfection, and his guests lacked nothing in the way of comfort. So concerned was Chuck with his guests' welfare that he always knew exactly where Steve was and what he was doing. Then one day, as Chuck had known it would happen, Steve came into his office for a private chat.
Hey, you busy, Chuck?
No. Have a seat, Steve.
Thanks.
What's on your mind?
While I was doing time, my old man died and left me a small farm in West Virginia. That's where I was born and raised, you know.
Yeah, I remember you telling me.
Well, I'm going back to the old farmhouse and settle down there for a while.
I see. Well, anything you say, Steve. Only let's keep in touch, huh?
Yeah, sure thing, Chuck.
When are you thinking of leaving?
Tomorrow morning.
Well, that's soon, huh? Well, we'll have to have a little farewell party tonight, okay?
Yeah, fine. I'll see you later.
Right you are. Felix, come in here.
What's up, boss?
I pal, Steve, is getting ready to make his move.
Guess he can't wait no longer to get his hands on that dough.
Looks that way. He's leaving tomorrow morning for a small farm he's got in West Virginia.
West Virginia, huh?
Yeah. Farmhouse can't be more than 30 or 40 miles from where he stashed the dough.
Is there any chance he might have hidden it on a farm?
Nah. Cops caught him before he got that far. He hid that dough someplace off Highway 6B.
How many of the boys you want me to take along?
Take four. I don't want any slip-ups. Watch him day and night, and without being seen.
Just leave it to me.
Sooner or later, he'll lead you to the dough. When he does, well, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, then. You better start packing.
The next morning, when Steve Martin took a train for West Virginia, two very inconspicuous men were seated at the other end of the coach he was riding in. They watched him get off the train at an all but deserted station in West Virginia, but made no move to follow him. As the train started off, Steve hired a car to take him to the farm he'd inherited. It was dusk when he finally reached the deserted farmhouse. On a heavily wooded hill 100 yards away, Felix and a companion watched through field glasses as Steve lit a fire in the farmhouse and prepared to settle down for the night. In the days and nights that followed, Felix and his men took turns watching Steve Martin's every action. And every evening, Felix would phone Chuck Williams and report that Steve hadn't made a move as yet.
How many times have I told you to knock before coming into this office?
What's the matter, Napoleon? Aren't things working out?
I've told you to lay off that Napoleon stuff. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
That must be Felix. Hello?
Hello, boss. Felix.
Well, what's happening?
Nothing. He still hasn't made a move. All he does is fish and read.
What about visitors?
He hasn't seen anyone since the day he got here.
Are you sure he didn't give me the slip during the night and get the dough?
Not a chance. I got two boys watching the house at night.
Well, maybe he knows he's being watched, and that's why he hasn't tried anything.
I'd bet my last buck he hasn't spotted us.
Nothing ever goes right unless I'm running the show. I'm leaving tonight for West Virginia. I'll see you in the morning.
Okay, boss. I'll be expecting you.
That's a farmhouse down there, boss. Look through the field glasses. You can see it just like you were standing in the front yard.
He's sitting on the porch reading.
Yeah, reading and fishing is all he does. He hasn't been more than a couple of hundred yards away from the house since he got here.
Well, he must have spotted you. That must be the reason he hasn't made a move.
How could he have spotted us? You can see how careful we've been.
Well, I'll wait a couple more days. See what happens. If he doesn't move soon, I'll have to think of something else.
Leaving Felix to continue his watch over the farmhouse, Chuck returned to the village and registered at the village inn. The hours that followed dragged interminably, and the hatred that Chuck felt for Steve Martin grew with each passing hour. In the evening, Felix drove into the village and reported that nothing new had occurred. Four more fruitless days went by. Chuck Williams was unable to contain his fury any longer. He got into his car and drove to within a half mile of the farmhouse, then walked the rest of the way to where Felix and his men were hidden on the hill.
Boss, what are you doing here?
I got tired of waiting.
You better get down, boss, or Steve Martin's liable to spot you.
Forget that. We're through playing a waiting game. We're going to move in on him.
Move in on
yeah.
him?
Yeah. Maybe after a light workout, my pal Steve will be willing to tell me where he stashed the dope.
Ah, that sounds more like it. I never did go for this cat and mouse game.
Before we're through with him, he'll be begging to tell us what he knows. Hello, Steve. Got a lonesome for you. Decided to pay you a call.
I thought you'd get around to it sooner or later.
You don't sound very glad to see me. That's a fine way to act towards a pal who was your host for the last 3 weeks. Didn't I treat you right?
Yeah. That's what made me figure I hadn't seen the last of you. What do you want?
I'll give you one guess.
I haven't got it.
I know you haven't, but you know where it is.
So what? That money belongs to me, not you.
That's where you're wrong, pal. That dough belongs to the guy strong enough to get it. That's me.
Okay, then you go ahead and get it.
Can I let him have it, boss?
That's not up to me, Felix. That's up to Steve. Well, pal, you gonna dig up that dough for me?
No.
You're not as smart as you used to be. You know I'll get what I want in the end.
I wouldn't count on it.
Okay, Felix, I guess it's up to you and Slim now.
Don't talk. Won't you, pal?
That's it, pal. All right, try getting on your feet. Here, let me help you.
How is he, Felix?
It's out cold, boss.
He always did have a stepping streak. I think in his condition, he couldn't take all that punishment.
We give him any more, he's liable to kick off.
Sure?
Yeah. He's already got a couple of busted ribs, and that beating around the head didn't help any.
We gotta make him talk. We gotta.
You have to figure out some other way.
Throw some water in his face.
Okay. Come to, boss.
Wrap him up in a chair.
Come on, you. There.
Steve, can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
Felix here wants to try the water treatment.
Water treatment?
Yeah. Now, why don't you play it smart and tell me where you hid that dough? Don't talk, huh? Okay, Felix.
Wait, I'll talk.
Well, it's more like it. Where is it?
You could never find it alone. I'll have to take you to it. Just you and me.
What's the matter with Felix coming along?
Just you and me.
Okay, pal, okay. Only I'm wondering if you're in condition to make it. Hey, Felix.
Yeah, boys.
Give him a few drinks, try to fix him up.
Right.
As soon as you've done that, Steve and me will be on our way.
An hour later, Steve, with the assistance of Felix, tottered to Chuck Williams' car and got in the front seat. Chuck slid behind the wheel and started the motor. As he drove off, he waved to Felix triumphantly. In a few minutes, the farmhouse had faded from view. Steve, huddled in a corner of the front seat, fought to keep from crying out every time the car hit rut in the road. Now and then, he opened his pain-filled eyes to look out the window. Chuck watched him with satisfaction as he drove.
How much further is it?
You drive about 5 miles until you reach a small gravel road where you'll see a big sign saying the Devil's Caverns. You turn right there and go 2 miles.
The Devil's Caverns? What are they?
They're a big tourist attraction in these parts during the summer. Hundreds of huge underground caverns that run for miles in all directions.
You mean that's where you stashed the dough?
Yeah. The best place in the world.
How do you know you'll be able to find it again?
I know every inch of the caverns. When I was a kid, my old man worked as a tourist guide there. I learned my way around from him.
Okay. But you better find that dough. I'm warning you.
I'll find it. Now, you should be reaching the gravel road in a couple of minutes. Turn right, then it's 2 miles to the Devil's Caverns. This is it. Park the car in that shed over there.
Place sure looks deserted.
Well, no one ever comes here until June.
Is that the entrance to the caverns? That door set in the rock?
Yeah. You'll have to shoot the lock off the door.
Is this okay?
Yeah. No one will ever be able to spot the car here.
But you said no one comes here until June.
No one does. I take chances. We'll need a flashlight.
I got one. Come out this way. If you're thinking of any tricks, don't. Remember, I got this gun, and you're in no condition to try anything.
Yeah, you saw to that.
How come you didn't hide out here when the cops were after you?
Well, there wasn't any place to hide the car. Shed wasn't here 17 years ago.
Tough. Never saw such a lonely-looking place.
Yeah. Well, you ought to be able to blow this padlock off with one shot.
You better stand over there. That does it. How much further is it? Seems like we've been walking an hour already.
It's right up ahead.
Sure you can find your way out again? All these cabins look alike to me.
Yeah, I know the way out.
Sure is damp in here. Hey, what was that?
Oh, probably just a rat running past you. Place is full of them.
Seems to me it's taken a long time to find that place where you hid the dough. If you're trying anything,
I'll... Here it is. I'll hold the flashlight a little higher. That's it. I hid the suitcase behind this rock.
Got it?
No, not yet. Here it is.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, all right. I can still recognize it. Open it up.
Well, there's the dough.
Yeah. Still in a bank wrapper. Look at it. Over $250,000. What's so funny? Answer me.
So you're the guy who always gets what he goes after in the end, huh?
Yeah, now I got the dough. And I'm asking you again, what's so funny?
Look at the money. Go ahead, look at it.
I'm looking. What about it?
Yeah, you're looking, mastermind, but you don't see. All those bills are goldbacks.
Goldbacks?
Yeah, that's right. In 1933, the government called in all goldbacks. That's how the kidnapper, Bruno Hauptmann, got caught, trying to pass goldbacks after the government had called him in.
You mean that dough is no good?
That's just what I mean. You try passing any of that dough and you'll end up doing time.
You've known all along that dough was no good?
Ever since 1933. Knowing it was worthless, I never intended coming here for it. But you may.
I ought to let you have it, you rat, for leading me on like this.
Well, why don't you?
Come on, pick up that suitcase. Let's get out of here.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to tell you, Chuck.
Tell me what?
I'm staying here.
You're staying here?
Yeah, that's right.
Now look, I've had enough out of you. Start leading the way out.
I guess you didn't understand. I said I'm staying here.
Get going or you'll get it right between the eyes.
That doesn't scare me. You see, Chuck, there was something else I didn't tell you.
Something else?
Yeah. I didn't get out of prison on good behavior. I got out because the doctor said I was going to die in 3 months.
Going to die in 3 months?
Yeah, that's right. I thought I'd die peacefully on my farm. Only you wouldn't let me do that. So I've decided to die here with you as company.
Steve, you can't do that. Can't do that, Steve. You gotta get me out of here. You gotta.
I don't have to do anything. I don't want to.
Get me out of here, Steve. I'll make it worth your while. I got dough. I got lots of dough.
It's too bad. You won't be able to take it with you.
Steve, I'll give you 100 G's. 200 G's if you get me out of here.
It's not gonna be tough for me to die because I only got 3 months anyway. But I'm gonna enjoy watching you. You're gonna get weaker and weaker as you plead with me to lead you out of
no.
here. Then you're gonna get desperate and try to find a way out by yourself. But you'll never make it. You'll go wandering from one cabin to another, and then in the end, you'll probably wander back here to find me dead. And your flashlight's gonna go out. You'll be all alone in the dark with the rats and the bats.
Oh, stop it! Stop it, or I'll
and
shoot!
And as you go weaker, the rats are gonna close in on you before you know it. Ah!
Steve. Steve. I didn't mean it. But you made me. Steve, say something.
Get out of here. This is the mysterious traveler again. Did you enjoy our little trip? What happened to Chuck Williams? Oh, the poor fellow was found dead a month later when the cabins were opened for the summer tourist trade. Seems Chuck had wandered from cabin to cabin without being able to find his way out. Evidently, he'd gone mad in his last hours, for he was found with his pockets stuffed full of bills. Goldbacks. Now, I recall another case in which two ghosts came face to face, only to discover that... Oh, you have to get off now. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this time.
You have just heard The Mysterious Traveler.
From May of 1948, it's been The Mysterious Traveler and I Won't Die Alone. That's all the time we have for today, but tune in again next week and why not invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those thrilling days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our fireside chat. Together we sat listening night.